CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It's a Tuesday. We are ready. Oh, man. So Pumi uses Waze, even though she knows where she's going. That's a strange thing to do.
No, Garrett.
Ah, explain then, because you said to me this morning you have Waze on, and you loved the way it switched from dark mode to light mode, which means obviously because it's brighter in the morning.
It was properly exciting when it switched. I was just like, yoohoo, look at this.
But what are you using Waze for? Is it for traffic?
Dude,
outsmarting
traffic together.
No, I hear you. Then that's
like,
yeah, that's great.
Joburg is not for the faint-hearted, right? Driving in Joburg is not for the faint-hearted.
You could use the Waze. Same route, and then suddenly one day you are like stuck.
Like, who the hell are these people on my road?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But just in a bit of a random note, doesn't it chow your battery? Like, hectic.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how your battery gets chowed when you're stuck in traffic? Your personal battery. Your energy levels. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But also, you see, I plan ahead. So in my car, I actually have a cable to charge my phone.
I'm telling you guys, should we ever have a zombie situation, the end is nigh. I'm coming to Gareth's house or your house now.
Totally.
I know. Well, who was the other one who was talking about stacking up food?
Yeah, there are a few people who you know.
It's like a cup,
if there was a zombie apocalypse, you could go in. But I often deal with this. I've told you, it's like one of my fantasy things that I do. I imagine when I walk into a place, all right, if the zombie apocalypse happens now, how do I get out?
Yeah.
And I have stuff in my car that I might need. And do
as
you
far
have...
As you're not armed, Gareth, because those people are normally armed to
Yeah, they
to
are, the but health. I don't like traveling with a gun. But the fact is, there are these people who have like a getaway bag. They've got they've got that
supplies.
Emergency bag full of stuff. So I have one of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's got like knife and matches,
rope,
and all that stuff, dude. I'm so organized. It's crazy. It's like a survival bag.
Yeah, like at my house, there are certain places where I know if like the house is on fire, right? You have to go here to get all the documents, all the important documents, your ID, birth certificate, all of that stuff.
This is an organized woman. I like this.
Jeez, guys.
Shit ain't catching me off guard.
This is so
weird.
Bag
in your boot, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
Boot in my car. I must tell you why.
Like when you watched Bird Box. You were like, what are these people like?
Yeah,
how are they not prepared for life?
But mind you, we
sideways.
Don't live in California where we're prone to earthquakes.
Yeah, we're just
we don't live in Cape Town where there could be fires.
But people can behave badly. Have you seen these riots and protests in Hong Kong? Huh?
So it's not even riots and protests in Hong Kong. Like, my mom lives in Pimville. Y'all all know this.
Yep.
And
in the hood, you've got to be prepared for anything.
Literally two streets away from my mom, the house burned down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their house burned down, guys. The whole house. And they're behind this high wall, fenced up, and people couldn't get in.
Yeah.
All of that shit. And I was just like, these people.
You don't want that to happen to you.
And we've been having lots of like outages, right? People have got candles, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, knock on wood.
I sometimes leave one of them burning.
I don't
know what's going to happen. Oh. Can I tell you why I'm really happy today and I'm over the moon? I woke up this morning. For the last 6 days, I have had, like, I suppose you could call it sciatica. You know, the back of your leg and your lower back is in pain. It almost feels like a pinched nerve. And I know how it happened. It's not before you say, because I know some people are going to say, oh, it's because you're old. So before you say that, I fell a little while ago and I really...
Because you're old.
Well, yeah, no. I fell because... it was a staircase and it was wet. It was one of those stone staircases at a friend of mine's house. Jeez. And I was coming down the stairs and I slipped on the one stair. Oof. And I fell and I like hit my lower back. There was a big bruise, right? And I looked... I looked at it the next day and I was like, that is going to give me problems. And it did. So I knew it was coming. And then for about 6 days now, I've had this, you know, where you can't touch your toes? Because if you even bend a little bit more than that, you're like, ah, this is horrible. And then your muscles are obviously really tense as a result of that too. So I was going to gym and just gently exercising it, but nothing was getting better. And last night I got into bed and it was so goddamn sore. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to walk New York feeling like this. Mm. I thought, this is going to be shit. And I was ready to make appointments this morning with like physios and all kinds of stuff. I woke up this morning, gone. I did some stretches last night.
Before and took
I went
a cataflap.
No, I didn't even. I got into bed and I did some stretches. I like pulled my knee up to the shoulder and I was like doing yoga. These yoga poses. Because I went online. Yeah, this is what's so great about being alive now. You go online and you Google something and I found out what I had. And I wasn't doing a, you know, an amateur.
Dr. Google.
Right. Because I know how doctors go, what? You diagnosed yourself, but you're a moron. I studied at medical school for years. So I'm not one of those. But I did go online and I did find what the condition was. And the symptoms were exact. And I knew, look, this is what it is. It's not internal medicine. This is fairly simple. And it's something a lot of people get. When I did the stretches before I went to sleep, I was like, oh my God, I feel so sore. And then this morning I woke up. Gone. You know how
hello New York.
Shit. Yeah. I feel like a new person today. It was gone. It was just magically gone. I was like, this is a good moment to become religious.
Miracles, right?
Miracle. It's a miracle, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus.
It really is a good
moment. Shit, that's nice. Because I've been a little bit like, in some pain in the last couple of days. Like every time
it catches you when you least expect it.
Yeah, it's like this shooting pain up your back of your leg and then into your lower back and you're just like, ah shit, this then you feel old. You really do feel old then.
So I'm impressed that you didn't take drugs.
No, because I first of all wouldn't know what to take. I don't keep a lot of pills at home. I've got headache tablets, I've got antihistamines, and I've got like Advils for colds. That's all I've got. I don't have anything
anti-inflammatory.
Else. I don't have any. Really? I wouldn't know which ones to buy.
Cataflam.
That's what you got. Oh. But you're a mom as well.
She's a mom. Like she
moms,
knows these things.
Moms
or
have
a druggie.
Moms are part-time pharmaceutical specialists. They really are. Because they're like, oh, well.
And you know what the most awesome part about that is? Is it happens like immediately. In those first 3 months of having a little person in your house. Mm-hmm. Like you just kind
you
of
learn. Do you have a medicine cabinet? Do you have a
It's probably
box?
A mini pharmacy.
It's a
shrine.
Yeah.
It's a box.
Yeah.
It's got just, you know, the important stuff.
Okay, so what's
just
important?
The important stuff.
So the ones I mentioned.
Allergics is important.
Very important. Mm-hmm. Right.
So what you need with the allergics is you need the syrup and you need the ointment. Right?
Oh, okay.
Got yeah, you. Yeah, yeah. The ointment is for like bites and stuff that are unidentifiable.
Oh.
Ooh.
You need Panado.
Course,
yeah, well,
syrup,
got you,
and yeah, because you know, like Panado is aspirin, yeah. You know, it's got all of the you know, you have a slight headache, Panado's good, you have a little bit of a fever, Panado's good, you have a little bit of a pain, Panado's good.
Okay, I'm taking notes here,
but like that cataflam, guys, that anti inflammatory, especially as you get a little bit older, when you have one bad night, you're doing a vosho.
And then
tomorrow you wake up and you're just like, this knee feels a little funny.
Yeah.
Or like you're in high heels at a dinner event the night before. You know, those feet feel a little bit like throbby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it works for that.
Anti inflammatory. Mm. Back pain.
All right, so that's what I got to keep them for.
Back pain.
See, right. I've never been one who obsesses over aging or getting old, Gareth, and I'm not saying you're getting old.
No, but I am. But I am. Look, I'm wise to it.
Listen,
yeah.
See, everybody's getting old every single day.
True.
When the sun sets, uh-huh. You're one
that's
day
it.
Older.
Mm-hmm. Granted. So I've never really been a person who minds the dates and ages and years. But the only thing I'm concerned about is the recovery period when you get older. It's not the same. You fall when you're 20. Oh, you get up and you're springing back into action.
Rise and walk, boy.
You fall when you're 55. Oh,
I thought we were talking about the recovery period of a hangover.
No, all of it.
As you get older.
Lump it all in one. It's such a random example to make, but on the Wendy Williams show, she has the fall of shame ever since she turned 50. It's not the hall of shame anymore. It's the fall of shame, where she says, look, I'm now in my 50s. I know how these things go. You now slip. That hip will not be the same.
But so my grandmother, who's 94.
Yeah.
Couple of years ago, she refused to get a pacemaker, as her heart rate and blood pressure have been getting lower and lower. And she refused a couple of years ago, about 10 years ago. And she said to the doctor, listen here, my heart has been beating for a very long time. And if it gets tired, it means it's time for it to stop. And I'm okay with that.
She's very practical, huh?
So so we were all okay with that. But
you were
literally
forced to be okay with
a week ago.
Yeah.
A week ago, yeah, last Sunday. She fainted, and it's always drama, right? Take her to the hospital, whatever. Turns out the old lady's heart is now beating at 44 beats per second.
Like that?
Per minute, 44.
That's hectic, because that's almost, she's just alive.
Just alive.
Oh, just alive.
What's the average human resting heartbeat?
Between 68 and 72.
Sure.
44 beats a minute.
And was just she was ready, man.
But she's still... So now the doctor's saying, now you actually have to... If we give her a pacemaker, she has another 5 to 10 years in her. And I'm just like, she doesn't want it.
No, she doesn't. And that takes such wisdom. How old is she, 90?
I think when you're 94, you have 94. A little bit of it.
There's a lot of... No, that's a lot of wisdom. And she just said, no, when it slows down and it doesn't want to work anymore, then it doesn't want to work anymore.
Yeah, she was just like, it's been working fine my whole life.
That is such a beautiful way to face the inevitable. Like, there's no fear there. She's like, it's good, thank you. I don't need to stay here forever. Like, I obsess about
Gareth?
Immortality. No, I hope I get to that stage at some point in my life, because that's liberty. Are you like, okay, I'm ready for the next adventure, this adventure I'm done with.
So that recovery time, see ya.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely nothing else wrong with her. Like, other than that, everything else.
Yeah. I mean, there's that theory, if you're talking about heartbeats, there's that you only have a finite number of heartbeats in your life.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
so if you're always panicking.
I think it's nonsense.
Man.
But yeah, if you panic, then you send that heart into then you then you're speeding
you're
up your time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? You're depleting your number of heartbeats.
Everyone, don't panic.
Yeah, so tell this to anxious Sia.
Relax.
So there's that theory.
Breathe,
and that, by the way, that if that's the case, that doing outrageous amounts of exercise also steals your time from you.
Oh.
But I don't know if
I don't believe that theory.
And through through your nose, or through
doing
your mouth.
Doing outrageous amounts of exercise.
So here's Dr. Robin, who says...
We have a doctor in our midst.
Thank
Transact
you.
Pat, he's the way to go for things like that, GC. Anti-inflammatories absorbed through the skin, working where it should be. Yeah, I don't know what a Transact patch is.
It's like...
It's like a patch or
it's
something.
It's like a plaster?
So it's the anti-inflammatory, and it's like... coming through your skin.
I listen, I'm not arguing with Dr. Robin. She's a doctor, and I'm not arguing with you, Pumi, because you're a mom and you seem to have a medicine cabinet that's like first rate. But I don't know what it is. I'm not a big self-medicator. I have three things at home. Three things. I have, for cuts and bruises, I've got like a first aid kit. But that's it.
You better damn well have a first aid kit.
Everybody should, right? In the car and at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the cars. Oh,
yes.
No, you have to. You can buy those little. You can buy them.
See,
so yeah,
you can
ready
just
made.
Get it at Dis-Chem.
And it's there.
Or at AA. Like,
what's
already
in your car?
You don't even have to like think about what to put in it. It's in there.
I'm not prepared for life.
Well, hold on for me. What is in your car? Like, in case of emergency, what
Pumi's
do you have?
Got like the whole universe in the boot of her car, by the sound of things. And again, because you have kids, you have to have a change of clothes. You have to have all kinds of things.
And a bottle of water.
Oh, okay.
I have my phone in case of emergency.
Which doesn't even have a charger.
Can I Uber a first aid kit?
Gavin says, Uber I even have extra tires.
Oh, damn.
Extra tires. Now, that's impressive.
No, damn, Gavin.
We just keep one, us regular people.
And then I just got a picture of some Transact patches from Robin. She's just sent them to me to say they are magic.
They are magic. She's right.
Muscle relaxants work even better. Now, this is not a doctor. Let's just put this clearly. this is Fatima. Fatima says muscle relaxants work even better. Relaxes the muscle fibers, similar to stretching. Yeah? Well, I did it the hard way last night, and I feel great this morning. They also say you have a finite number of nuts as a man.
Nuts?
Oh. Well, like number of times you can ejaculate as a man.
Okay.
I'm more worried about that one than I am my heart. It better outlast my finite number of heartbeats, Leighton, in Cape Town. Okay, so listen. Fatima's saying she's a doctor and a pharmacist, just to make sure that we know that she knows what she's talking about. Thank you very much, Fatima. So she says muscle relaxants. All right, so between her and Robin, I've now got stuff I've got to add to my medicine cabinet. Mfundo says he loves the impersonation I do of church people. Well, that's kind of a standard, like, Baptist church in the south of America.
Very El Sharpton.
Hey, speaking of Wendy Williams just now.
Yeah.
Aren't you going on her show?
Yes.
Sia is going as a guest on the Wendy Williams show.
I'll be an audience member. It's still so much fun, and I'm ready for it.
You've got to tell them that you're from South Africa when you go in.
Oh, that's why I was looking for that traditional outfits.
Oh, no.
Because I'm... Oh, no. So...
Really?
Don't be that guy.
Let me set the scene.
Which show are you going to?
Let me set the scene with what the Wendy Williams show is all about. For anyone who doesn't know who Wendy Williams is, she looks like a caricature of a human being. And she readily admits it herself. She calls herself a capital P. Because she has a flat behind, but these massive inflated boobs that she says were good work. You know, she paid good money for that.
Sure.
And she's just a woman who rose from radio, now has a daytime talk show where she just talks about celebrity gossip. And it's a messy show. She even calls it that all the time. So when you get to her show, she calls the audience her co-hosts. Because she encourages reactions from the audience. Yes. So she'll say, "You'll never believe it. Miley Cyrus has broken up." And the whole audience goes, "Ooh."
So just all the of kind that. Of show yes. you should be on.
If it's your birthday, you get this massive tiara or big crown. She wants you to dress up in bedazzled stuff and feather boas.
So did you tell them in your email request
that
I'm coming all the way from South Africa. I am the biggest fan. And when she fainted that one time, I was genuinely upset.
No.
And just Wendy Williams as a human being, she just she's going through a divorce right now because she found out that her husband of 25 years had a mistress on the side.
No.
And the mistress gave birth to a child.
No.
Wendy, middle name Petty Williams, went as far as kicking the husband out of the house.
Oh, good.
But it was also during the time when she was in that pseudo recovery, you know, where she used to get like picked up.
She slipped into the drugs again. She stripped the husband of everything that he owns the husband was just her manager, so took away the Ferrari.
So yeah, it sounds like this woman could be one of your soulmates.
This is my
soulmate. So, okay, you're going to go into the crowd, and then you go. Mm. When you get there, what's going to happen is that they process everybody, so they just check you with security, so you're not carrying anything dangerous. And then you'll sit in this holding area, and there may be someone who comes in with a little clipboard, and they go, "Hi, where are you from?" And you tell them. And if they've been tipped off because you would have filled in a form or something, or you would at least have applied, so they might know already you're from South Africa. And, you know, just in case it's a slow day on the show, Wendy might want to talk to you.
Yes. Okay.
Can
everyone cross fingers for me? There's a segment on the show called Ask Wendy. And you ask Wendy for advice.
What would you ask Wendy?
Now, Wendy doesn't want to know mundane things. No.
You ask her about your love life.
Yes. Like, there are people
you
on the show.
You must tell them, because, you know, like, the Americans really, like, almost all of us colonial powers, and we saw you last week. You must tell them that you met The Duchess.
Because she loves Meghan.
You must tell them this.
Mm. Yeah, so I need to bring up a juicy story to ask Wendy.
Can
for
I taste your juice?
There you go.
And similar to Joey on Friends, you have to greet Wendy in a particular way. You have to, how you doing?
Oh, wow. You've practiced this. God, I love it. What other shows?
Hey, Wendy, how are you doing?
For a year.
What other shows are you going on?
I'm going to Live with Kelly and Ryan. That's Ryan Seacrest and Kelly Ripa. They also have a morning show.
Ryan Seacrest has such a personality, you'll be able to feel it from the end of the room.
You are not excited about that one.
No. I met Ryan Seacrest once.
Yeah, you know, there are other things to do in New York besides go to the taping of TV shows.
This to me is absolutely fascinating.
This is not a waste of his time. Trust me. This is good stuff. Sia's going to love
I'm
this.
Still playing around with the idea of going to Good Morning America.
Oh,
I was personally gunning for the Today Show, and that the
Who's
Today
on the Today Show. Today I mean, who Show, would we know
Savannah Guthrie is now a host of there.
So none of this is really on in South Africa. We don't watch it. Right?
No. Yeah, it's not on South African television. But the reason why I'm gunning to go there is because Today Show was where the journalist Matt Lauer was on.
Yes,
and he had the fall from grace with the Me Too movement.
He had that desk with a button on it that would lock the office door, so girls would come in and they couldn't get out.
Now,
what a creep.
There's a new book that's out by Ronan Farrow. Ronan was the New York Times journalist who first broke the Harvey Weinstein.
He started the whole Me Too thing along with all, you know, Alyssa Milano.
So now he says that the first woman who ever spoke out against Matt Lauer has exclusively gone to him and just broken, like, all of the details. So he's written this new book, and it's
let's
like,
let's do what the Wendy Williams audience would do.
Guys, this is the highlight of my life.
So what exactly do you think will happen when you are there? Yes, like, I wish people could see your face right now, Sia.
The competitor morning show to the Today Show, the likes of the Good Morning Americas and whatnot, have all booked Ronan Farrow on their show. Why? Because they're just petty. They know Ronan is going there.
Yeah, and they're going to stick it to the...
To talk smack about the Today Show. So I just want to go to the Today Show to see what the atmosphere is like there, because I'm sure everyone there is just like, oopsie.
So awkward. It's going to be so awkward.
Okay, I'm posting it now, Sia. I'm posting it. I'm putting it out there.
So in the midst of, you know, a lot of meetings.
All right, well...
a lot of conferences.
Sia's not just going over there to attend TV shows. We've got a busy day, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're going to this conference on Thursday. And then you're pretty much flying back, right?
Wednesday, Thursday, the conference.
And next week, to look after you, Ben will be in. Which I know a lot of people excited about. Michael Flax is going to make a reappearance.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Levinson is going to be here.
He's popping in on the Friday.
So it's going to be a great week.
And then I'm back that Monday.
So don't panic. Sia's Joey impression sounds like Scooby-Doo doing a bad Joey impersonation. That's from Nathan.
No, I said like Joey. Wendy does it differently.
And here's someone listening from India, and her name is Venetia. She says, hey, Gareth, I took out your advice yesterday. About taking charge of my life, and I quit my job.
Oh no.
Now I'm unemployed thanks to you.
Oh no.
When can I start working at Cliff Central? Jokes. Hope you're having a fantastic morning. I'm listening from India.
My heart beat a couple of times in the past 5 seconds, so I've depleted some.
Yeah, you just lost some life. And Inati saying, good morning, bitches.
What up, bitch?
What up?
Morning. Please sort out your stereo levels. You're only playing through one channel. The other is scratchy and flakes out every now and then. What? Well, we did just redo our studio. We've just from the point of view of those who give a shit, because I know most people don't, but we've actually moved Spike, who's our producer. He's like a production manager. We've moved him into the studio right opposite us. So now we've got it all very tidy in one area. And that means when Gugu's taking like calls and sorting out the podcasts, he's actually sitting in the second studio now. It looks much better, don't you think?
It does. I like it.
It looks professional now. Much more.
Teething problems, I think.
Yeah, we're not... Because when we started here, really, it looked like a bit of a junkyard with a whole bunch of stuff in it. And we had a TV studio going, and it was awkward.
Ambitious.
There were cameras all over the place. And we've got new blinds from Taylor Blinds and Shutters in, which is great because we've done all these blind history episodes with them, and they came in here the other day, Anthony and Kate, and they looked at this and they said, mm-mm, you got shit blinds. I mean, those weren't their exact words, but these ones, we've got like a remote control for them.
Oh.
So they go tzzz.
Very fancy.
Very nice.
What's the word opaque?
Where's the...
Yeah, they're opaque, so it's...
So where's the motor for it?
It's plugged in, so it actually plugs in over there.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, and then you press a button, and then it goes up and down. It's incredible.
Stop it.
Impressive.
Yes, very nice. Mm. See us sorted out.
Very fancy.
We're becoming grown up for a change here at Cliff Central.
The things I would do with those blinds at my house.
What would you do with them?
Well...
What would you do?
Oh.
Yeah, what would you do?
You finish that thought.
Yeah.
No, it would be... to say that. I would get to wake up like a princess in a Disney movie.
You press the buttons and it would all go up at the same time. And then the sun would come in.
And then the birds would chirping.
Tweet, tweet.
Then I feel pretty starts playing in the background.
Gosh, really? Isn't that ridiculous, Pumi? Really. Eddie says, I just had a Thai cigarette and it feels like I'm going to die. I'm off to the doctor. I feel like shit. A Thai cigarette?
Do you know what that is, Gareth?
I hope it's not some Urban Dictionary thing because I'm about to Google it.
Is it gross?
I don't know.
I just think, it's a cigarette.
Yeah.
I'm not imagining that there's something else going on. Robert says, would like to come and see the new setup. There is something strange with the sound, though. Okay, well, we'll check that out. Don't worry. I'll talk to Greg. There are bound to be teething problems. I haven't had a temper tantrum about the... studio for how long? I used to have them all
I've
the
heard
time.
About yeah. these, Gareth, but I've never seen
I haven't,
them.
Either I've grown up
I've
or...
I've actually forgotten about them.
You've probably grown up.
Or I don't care anymore. I don't think it's the latter. So maybe I've grown up.
Although look, it is a sign of growing older, not giving a fuck.
But we we haven't had a lot of problems. So report these to me. I'll talk to Greg
Some
and Spike
movie.
And we'll sort it out. Hey, Sia, I just got here to talk about going on the Wendy Williams show. Mm-hmm. How you doing, says See? Lindy. Can't you go to the Daily Show with Trevor Noah? I literally got up just now and turned it on and laughed my ass off.
I don't want to jinx it just yet, but we're working on something
working
else
on
there.
It, working on it.
Working on something else.
Okay, let's do the five things you need to know this morning, shall we? There are a few stories in the news that we need to pay attention to. First of all, there is no decision in the Janusz Wolus parole situation. Judgment's been reserved. He's challenging the decision not to grant him parole earlier this year. The legal team of the former Justice Minister, Michael Masut, has argued that the denial of parole was well-reasoned. He's serving a life sentence for gunning down Chris Hani in 1993. And remember, just yesterday we spoke about that story where Bladen Zimande, who usually talks absolute nonsense, made a pretty good point. Like, Janusz Wolus has never really explained what was behind the assassination. And there are people who say that there's a lot more nefarious stuff that went on, and we would like the full story. And I don't think anyone should be able to get out, even if it's been 27 years, without telling the full story, and this guy hasn't. Mm. So I'm kind of like, well, dude, if you want your freedom so badly, you better tell us where these instructions came from, because you didn't operate. They weren't like lone wolf guys, because it was him and Clive Darby Lewis, and maybe Clive Darby Lewis's wife, although she was never sent to jail. There's got to be more, right?
There's like got to be.
So,
but also
he's not opening up, so why should we let him out? What do you say, Pums?
The South Africa. So lit every day.
Yeah, Gareth, yesterday.
Because that's the thing. Like, there are so many, like, questions that everybody still has. And I don't know why even the people who have access to him don't ask those questions. Mm. Wouldn't it be, like, a fascinating story for the Daily Maverick to just, you know?
Well, you mentioned the Daily Maverick. Steely from the Daily Maverick, who used to be the host of our Daily Maverick show and has remained... the big boss of the Daily Maverick for the longest time is popping in today. So we can talk to him about the Daily Maverick and what's going on over there. Maybe we'll ask him.
Mm.
Like, wouldn't it be so juicy? This is the kind of... this is where, like, that true crime podcast life in South Africa could be,
that was,
right?
Look, that 1993 assassination of Chris Hani was the closest we all came to actual civil war in South Africa. Yeah. It was the most dangerous moment in our recent history. And it was perpetrated by just two lone, you know, a duo of what, guys who just wanted to kill someone they thought was a politically dangerous person? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm, You know, I'm open to all kinds of theories here, but I'd love to hear from this guy and know what he has to say. He's never said anything.
Gareth, you planted a seed yesterday when we were discussing this that led me down this conspiracy rabbit hole. You mentioned something along the lines of, once upon a time there was talk that perhaps there were some ANC members involved
in the murder. I said this just the other day.
And that's what I found out yesterday. So I sat and I was like investigating things. Former President Jacob Zuma was like the head of security.
Intelligence,
Of intelligence that. for Chris Hani.
But that's why he's always holding it over everybody's head.
That's why
that
he says
people have Smolanyana skeletons. Right, the reason he has this conversation all the time and there's always this veiled threat is because as head of intelligence,
I didn't know
he has everybody's files.
He knows
he's
who
got tea on everybody.
He knows who murdered who. He knows where the bodies are buried.
He has tea.
You're still like the Wendy Williams audience
All right.
But what I also found out was that because it was just around Easter, right? And he had said, Zuma had said, like, some of the security staff can go home. So there were not a lot of people on duty. It just became, I had to stop myself yesterday.
A lot of people's eyes were trained on former President Thabo Mbeki. During that time. Saying that he organized it, but he was certainly the beneficiary of Chris Hani's making a vacuum in the power system. Because at that stage, you know, we hadn't had the new government yet. It was still negotiations going on, and the ANC was still sorting out who they would put where and what they would do. And Chris Hani was a very powerful and influential figure.
So I was trying... I did have this conversation with a couple of friends of mine who have more ANC background than me, right? About that, about civil war and there's always all this talk that we were on the brink of the civil war at that time. And I've always wondered why. Like, why do people think we were on the brink of civil war and why did it not break out? I also think it's very, you know, civil war is a chaotic. It's a chaotic experience.
It was the closest we came. It doesn't mean we were close.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people are like, it was, civil war was on the, and I wondered about this, but one of the things that was very clear in my mind that dawned on me is that actually understanding the context of the day is people came back into the country. So all of these people that were umkhonto and out in exile, bloody came back in the country through the airport. You know, they were let back into the country. And if y'all have been in that like customs check queue at the airport, you basically stripped naked. You're not coming in here with any kind of guns. And so where were the weapons caches? Was there enough weapons even for people to take up arms? No. Like the and every single person that came back into the country was essentially accounted for. And I don't think that this was a coincidence. I think that what the apartheid government did by opening up those borders and allowing people in is to account for who is here and when they got here and where they went. And so now you have an account. You have an account of all of the people that were here. And then an unpopular, for me, I think it's an unpopular opinion. A lot of people get upset when I say this. I also think that the reason why we never had any kind of civil war, we never had what Zimbabwe had, we never had what Angola had, we never had what Mozambique had, is because, you know, our liberation movement, they were cowards. They were not the kind of guys that would take up a gun. And walk in and, you know, there were very few people that were willing to do that. That's why there were isolated incidences of, and that's, I also think even as we see our government now, we are led by people who are cowards. They're afraid to make big decisions. They're afraid to stand by the decisions that they make. They oscillate, you know, between.
They try to please everybody as well. And they're pleasing nobody.
And the civil war, a civil war needs, like a Fidel Castro, it needs heart. You know, you've got to be willing to take up a gun and
And do some pretty dastardly things.
Bloody weaklings.
So that whole brilliant but quite juicy story was only part of the first headline among five.
All right. Jeez. It is the five things you need to know.
All right. There was a pilot who was killed after a light aircraft crash between two houses. In Freiburg on Sunday evening, the Light Piper aircraft crashed between the houses after hitting the garage wall of one of the houses in Isaac Beloeng Street. According to police, 30-year-old pilot was declared dead on the scene while the person he was traveling with was injured and transported to hospital.
Whew. Trying to park it in the garage.
Yeah.
I'm not intentionally being insensitive, but I hope it doesn't become like that story a couple of months ago where we discovered that there was guy trying to commit suicide and trying to
insurance
be spiteful to the insurance wife or something.
An NMU student has been arrested for the roommate's murder.
Oh, no.
A 19-year-old Nelson Mandela University student has been arrested for the murder of his roommate after a fight broke out between the two. The clash occurred at their off-campus accommodation on Saturday night. Two other students died in separate incidents over the weekend. Becoming dangerous at NMU. Forget about civil war. Like, our campuses are places you don't want to be. The Student Representative Council said that a memorial service was being organized. The mood is foul because we've lost three students and that's never happened. I should hope no. The NUM loses three students in less than 24 hours. The university is providing counseling. But really, you know, someone has someone has to ask the question, what kind of people are going to university if they're killing each other in the accommodation? Mm.
What kind of fights are they having if they're killing each other fighting?
I don't think during my whole 4 years at university there was anyone killed.
Did you see any fights?
Murdered in the hostels.
And whether you think this is fair or unfair, it's now the fingers are going to be pointed at the officials at the university when it's not their fault.
Someone's got to look into these students, especially the ones obviously who've done the murdering, and just find out like where the hell these people come from and what kind of background they have and what they were studying, and like we've got to figure this stuff out.
Watch, so people are going to demand the university do something and take and more precautions saying,
and I can see this gonna cause backlash for me, right? You've been raised badly.
Well, yeah, it's true.
And what we're seeing, the students that are going to university are the kids that we are raising in our fucked up societies, right? They're raised badly. Mm-hmm. They make bad decisions.
Well, that's a hectic story. And then Duduzane Zuma.
Oh, he had.
You think he was
yesterday.
Raised badly, or you think he was raised okay? Because he concluded his first appearance at the Zondo Commission in Parktown, where he refuted a number of allegations previously levelled against him before the very same commission by some political figures. Some of the allegations came from Mcebisi Jonas, who claimed that the Gupta family had, in Duduzane's presence, offered him 600 million rand if he agreed to replace Nhlanhlanene as finance minister. And even the former KZN Hawks head, Johan Boysen, claimed that the former president's son misled him as to why he was meeting with the Guptas.
For me, he's breathing quite heavily. What's going on over there?
Things you need to know is obviously like triggering me this morning.
So, did you watch any of it?
Of course.
Okay, we see you're so well prepared. I didn't.
So was he mentioned or was he implicated? This is the big thing that, because this is the thing, right? Is the commission is about people mentioning you in certain situations. And then the trickiness of the English language. Being mentioned is not necessarily implicating you. Mm. You know?
What did he have to say?
And Duduzane was so calm and so well prepared. And fascinating for me to watch. I mean, obviously everybody was watching it, those who watched were watching it, also contrasting him to his father's appearance a couple of months ago, and to see this guy sitting there coolly and calmly answering questions, and whether you believe him or not, right? So as he then says, oh no, I don't think so, I don't think that's what happened, of course. Now, remember that one of the biggest things about his questions is that very meeting with Mgwebisi, right? Which the Guptas have high and low sworn never happened. Never happened. And there he is yesterday saying, of course we had a meeting. Of course we had a meeting. There was a rumor and I thought that this was rubbish and, you know, this guy and this guy, even though they knew each other, there was this rumor and it was creating problems. So I thought we should sort it out. I thought I would bring them into a room and let's sort it out. So why did you meet at the Guptas? Says, well, it was the most convenient place for everybody to meet. I've often had meetings there. What's the problem with that?
He's very calm when he starts something like that.
He's like, what's the problem with that? Mm. What is the problem with that? Mm. They're like, so why would you meet at somebody else's house and not at your house? He says, yeah, so that's what we chose.
Sure.
It was the most convenient place between Rosebank and Parkhurst and da-da-da-da. It was the most convenient place for all of us to meet. So there we were meeting. But he then says, no, it wasn't the discussion about 600,000 rands. I can neither confirm nor deny. I don't know anything about that. So, but he then confirms there was a meeting, which the Guptas say there was no meeting.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, guy. Ew. But he was fascinating to watch in that he came in there and he was going to answer what he was going to answer. And
he did come in with a quite severe legal team. We're talking
severe.
Like,
quite severe.
Yeah, we're talking about like 8 lawyers and two advocates.
BDK in full effect.
Yeah, they were all there. I mean, there was a photograph I saw on social media yesterday of his legal team and it took up my whole feed.
Oh.
They have prepped him well. Uh-huh. They have prepped him well. You know, one of the things that in, you know, interviewing 101 that we learned is about uncomfortable questions.
Yes.
And how to turn the tables on a person asking you uncomfortable questions. So we learned it obviously from the broadcaster side, Gareth, about how to stay on track. So don't let this person get out of the seat, of the hot seat, as it were. But he did that very well. So what it's a trick when a person asks you a question and you're not sure if you want to answer it or you is to turn the question back on them. And the easiest way to turn the question back on them is to ask them to explain themselves. So what do you mean by that? I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
Yeah.
He did that often. He did that often.
So he was really,
yesterday.
He was well prepped.
So the evidence lead also then finds himself kind of going
unsteady.
What am I? Okay, so, and you know, also a bit of a showman. He had a big bottle of water with a lovely little picture and he's gulping his water and just. Also, everybody
there's a bit
just,
of theater going on here.
It's so descriptive. I love it.
And the girls on social media, they just love him. It reminded me of the time the DA organized a busload of people to go protest at his court appearance and all the girls wanted selfies. Also, I'm watching social media going, guys, this guy is like, there are so many problems about this guy. Uh-huh. And people are just going, oh my God, is he going to announce that he's going to take a second wife?
No, they are.
It was on social media. I'm not making this up.
I would just like to say that if there are any men out there who are looking for girlfriends and wives, just go and check if she has mentioned Duduzane Zuma in an over-the-top saccharine way, then stay away from her. She's probably a psychopath.
Here we are. When you go onto Twitter and you search Duduzane Zuma, the third top post is, these two gentlemen seem to be attracting a lot of SA girls. Ladies, let him confuse you a little. Retweet for Duduzane Zuma, like for Mbuyiseni Ndlozi. This is the state of our country.
Okay. Then one last story. After nearly 6 months of living in temporary shelters, communities who were displaced by floods in Itekwini will be relocated to informal settlements and given material to build homes. The municipality's chairperson for human settlements and infrastructure had said 2,000 families would be supplied with building material within the next 3 weeks. Apparently, they've launched a support program in Reservoir Hills in Durban, where 31 people from 17 families were moved. It's taken them 6 months. Finally, they're they're helping these people out. Those are the five things you need to know.
Can I please add one last thing?
Which sure, of course.
It was also in the paper, and it's a bit of a warning, girls and boys. It's yes, a warning. Sure. It was in Isolezwe, which is a Zulu newspaper.
I read it every week.
Unfortunately, for those of you who can't read the language. But it was about a young lady from Ladysmith who was on a dating app called Badu, I think it is, and has been taken for a ride by a match that she swiped.
But how badly a ride? Like she was swindled financially or she was led into a dangerous situation?
Literally, she quit her job.
Uh-oh. Well,
cashed in her 240,000 rands worth of like pension, whatever.
Oh, no.
The guy left her with four eggs.
Four eggs in the kitchen?
Four eggs in her hand.
Yo.
Sure.
Yo.
I'm just saying, be careful.
There are some crooks.
No, this is the new way of Darwin's evolution.
You think stupid people...
She must eat her four eggs and shut up.
With peace and quiet in the corner. Leave us alone.
She was badly taken for a ride. Come on.
But whose problem is
four
that?
Eggs. Four eggs, Sia. Amaqanda. Four. Four.
She must go back to... No.
Did it say there are four eggs?
Yay, it was in the headline. This is why I read the story, which is also why I read Isolezwe. It's got the most hilarious headlines. And then when you read it, the story is like, oh my Lord, this is a terrible story. I didn't think this is how this thing would turn, but four eggs.
Four macandas.
Eid sent me a message to say, hi, I say the Thai cigarettes, we were talking about them just now.
Yes.
Smell shit. I'm from Thailand. I now live in South Africa for 20 years. I'm a big fan of your show. Well, thanks, Eid, because we didn't know what someone was talking about just now when they were complaining about Thai cigarettes. And the book by Evelyn Hrunink, The Incorruptible, does reveal who killed Chris Harney.
Ooh.
We've got to read that book now.
Incorruptible.
Evelyn Hrunink, The Incorruptible. Wow, okay.
Ooh, that Hrunink one is going to be a...
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I think I found it.
Okay. All right, good. That's what we've got in the news this morning. In a little while, we're going to catch up with Steely, who is from the Daily Maverick. We're going to find out what's going on with the Daily Maverick, because it seems to me they're going from strength to strength. We've obviously had a long relationship with the Daily Maverick. Steely and the editor have been friends of ours for a very, very long time. And we used to have a show together that we did, but the Daily Maverick has been... such a pioneer in the South African news media space, and even in terms of general digital online stuff, they were way ahead of the game, and they continue to forge into new areas and do interesting things that nobody else is doing. I think lots of people are subscribers. If you aren't already, perhaps you should think about that, because not only by subscribing do you make sure that you get the news that matters and you get really good quality journalism, but you also get great opinions and you get interesting stuff delivered to you every day. And you protect the cause of proper journalists, which in this country are few and far between, and real news, where, you know, you have people who are doing fact-checking, they're doing investigative reporting, and we'll find out from Stilly what their plans are for the future.
I can't believe Daily Maverick is turning 10 years old this year.
Yes. Yeah, that's
incredible. It feels like there are so many... big stories that they've covered and broken over the years, and you now think about, oh goodness, so much has happened in just a decade.
Yeah.
We've been through a lot of messy times, let's put it that way.
We have, and Steely and Branko have been just at the forefront of making sure that not only that the Daily Maverick survives, because there were tough times, but also that it thrives, and that's kind of where they are at the moment. So we'll speak to him and catch up with Steely in just a short while. And you might even remember those Daily Maverick shows. For a while, Steely even hosted them. And he's in town this morning for a long overdue catch-up, which we're going to spend some time talking to him about the Daily Maverick and take your calls and thoughts and ideas. Your messages, you know how to get hold of us. You can do so on 079-748-2090. Here, speaking of messages, is one from Tapelo, who says, "Hey, Gareth and crew, I bought the book titled Harney, A Life Too Short, which is a great book. It chronicles the origins of Chris Harney and what led to the assassination. The guy was a real gem, Tapelo." So interesting new reading material we all have to get into.
So, you know, Chris Harney was, and why everybody sees him as this dangerous cog in the wheel of
liberation,
anti-apartheid struggle. Because he was like the general, you know, he kind of led that faction. And a story that I was at a dinner and Mwile Tsimbeki was telling the story of, just as, you know, the disarmament and the coming back when that announcement was made, was that there were two speeches that Alfred Nzo was given. And the two speeches were, one is if the announcement is made that the ANC would be unbanned, this is the speech that he would go out and give to the people. And if the announcement is not made, the next speech is the one that he would give to the people. And he then says, you know, but Alfred Nzo was so prone to mishaps. As
he was the one who kept falling asleep when he was Minister of Foreign Affairs, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Look up Alfred Nzo. Shame he was very old already by that stage.
And he had that demeanor. So when Mweletsi then said, yeah, he was very prone to kind of all these mishaps. He was just an unlucky chap like that, right? And then the announcement was made that the ANC was being unbanned and everybody would be coming home.
Yes.
He then went out to give his speech and he took the wrong speech.
Oh no.
So
what happened?
No.
What happened?
Chris Hani saved his life.
How did he just stop him mid-speech?
Yeah, because the people were becoming so agitated because he took the wrong speech, and that was a speech that was basically talking about escalating and how the fight is going to have to continue and whatever. And he was like, but also it was a speech about how ill prepared, you know, the escalation would need so much more from the people because they don't have the arms. Like I was telling you, they didn't have the arms. They did, you know, so it was also a speech that to the troops, as it were, was not the speech they wanted to hear.
So Chris Hani, did he take over? And
yes. Oh, okay. So Chris Hani took over from the old man and kind of, because the guys listened to him. I mean, he was a commanding voice. Mm. He was a commanding voice with the troops of the Umkhonto.
Wow. All right. Well, there's an interesting. You're full of interesting stories this morning, Pumi. Mm. You've been doing a lot of a lifetime of research to share this stuff with us. This is good stuff. People always say to me, you know, why do you have Sia? Why do you have Gugu? They never ask why do you have Pumi.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. I'm sure they do. They're like, that
I don't know
girl.
How I'm meant to take that.
They're like, oh, that girl, she's so annoying.
All right. When we come back, we'll speak to Steely. We'll talk Daily Maverick. We'll take your calls. You know what to do. Nobody understood. CliffCentral.com